There is somebody that can never get out of your knocking. Anytime God
expresses himself to the Lord right now.
And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was changed.
Father, we are ready to receive in the name of Jesus. Absent-mindedness gives way in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
There is clarity of thought and spirit in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Today, I want to share something we've titled First Love. Say after me, First Love. Because we're actually beginning a new series which we have called On Fire. Glory.
Glory!
Jesus Christ. I said glory.
Glory.
Hey. Okay, my teaching will address the matter. So let me go on. Please help me hold. So we want to begin a teaching series which we have titled On Fire. And before we go into the teaching series, let me ask you, were you blessed in the month of May? Were you blessed in the month of May? The month of May, we began to address the subject of firm foundations, and the emphasis of firm foundation was this: where does a new believer begin from? If he gets born again today, where does he really start from? And we began to answer questions like, is there a God? Can the Bible be trusted? Did Jesus rise? And we went on like that. What is the gospel? How is the man saved? And this June also, we are building on that. Are you with me? On Wednesday, we talked about assurance. Who was in church last week Sunday? Were you blessed last week Sunday? Passcode, how is a man saved? But then on Wednesday, we started talking about how do you know you are saved? Assurance. So, we began to talk about assurance. And we said that God doesn't want you to live your Christian life in uncertainty. Hebrews 10 verse 22, the Bible says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed pure water. Glory!
Glory.
Say after me, full assurance of faith. Say after me, full assurance of faith.
Full assurance of faith.
So, there are two major doctrines on the subject of salvation that people struggle with. The doctrine of security and the doctrine of assurance. What is the doctrine of security? It is the commitment of God to the saved in salvation. Say after me, the doctrine of security. I want you to talk. Say after me.
The doctrine of security
is the commitment of God
to the saved
in salvation. So, when the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 3, or before you read that, Philippians 1 verse 6. Let's do that one first. Philippians 1 verse 6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Christ. Glory!
Glory!
He who has begun a good work. So, the doctrine of security sounds like this. I'm going to talk about it on Wednesday, even in deeper on Wednesday. The same power that saves is the power that keeps. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
The same power that saves is the same power that keeps a man. 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 3 to 5. Let's look at it. 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 3 to 5. See why you should be writing. 1 Peter 1 from verse 3 to 5. One day in this church, after preaching, I'll just say, tear out the sheet of paper. I promise you. Everybody read 1, 2, 3, go. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So he's saying that we have been begotten again. We'll talk about this later, right? Unto a lively hope because Jesus rose from the dead. Are you with me? Verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away. Jesus, I'm not hearing your voices. Everybody read this verse. Verse 5.
To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you.
Go on.
Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time.
So he's saying the people who have been begotten again unto a lively hope because Jesus rose, they are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So say after me, I'm kept by the power of God.
I am kept by the power of God.
Say it again, I'm kept by the power of God.
I'm kept by the power of God.
This is very important because now person can get saved. How are you sure you will make it to the end? The example I gave on Wednesday, I said, imagine you took a test or an exam and the exam was over 100 and you scored 45 over 100, but when you checked the script, you actually got everything. They marked good everywhere. But you got 45. Hallelujah. You got 45. You now meet the teacher. I ask the teacher, sir, I got everything. Why did you give me 45? The teacher now says, I know you got everything, but there is something you did that made you feel like you don't know. Ah, sir, what did I do? He said, it's too deep for you. I can't explain it to you. You know, that's the same thing we say when we say we don't know what will take a person to hell. Say, we don't know who is going to make it. Only God knows who are saved, though. Only God knows who will go to heaven. We are just serving God, though. You're not deserving God because you don't know. You don't know. Oh. Have you not heard people preach like this? And so now, just imagine you meet a doctor with a syringe. He said, I want to give you this injection, but we don't know if it will work. I don't know. But we just know that we have to give you. What will you do? You say, sir, wait first. But that's what we do. You see, let me tell you something here. Until you get to the point where you can now stake your life on what the Bible says, you're not yet a Christian. You don't really know what's going on here. Until you get to the point when you can really say, this is what this is. When I began to study the Bible and take the Bible seriously, that was when I knew that you can be in church and not in touch. You can be in church for a long time, eh? And you still don't know God. That was when I knew. That was why I started preaching like this. You know, I told you on Wednesday, even if you are two people here, I will sit. Those days when we started, I used to come to church with board, whiteboard. Ask my wife, I will come to church with whiteboard. Like, I will be opening scriptures, showing them diagrams. If you check this, one day after the service, one man stood up and said, this is not a church. Just call it Bible school. Just know that we came to university. But guess what? That was how Jesus taught. That was how the apostles taught. Go and read Acts chapter 7. They asked Stephen, oh yeah, talk about the faith. Stephen, start. Hey, God. And he was talking off heart like that. He was just talking. Then it's our generation. Somebody just wake up and say, hey, you can be a Muslim and you are still saved. Somebody say, I'm a Christian body. It's either you are a body or you are a Christian. But you cannot be both. Well, don't deviate. Assurance. So how do you know you are saved? So first of all, the doctrine of security explains to us that God will keep those that are saved. That Jesus will keep those that are saved. Are you with me?
Yes,
please, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Jesus will keep those that are saved. That is security. But assurance is, how do you know that you are part of those that he's keeping? Are you following me? How do you know? It is true that God saves eternally. It is true that God saves to the end. But how do you know that you are part of those? It is true that Shell can pay 1 million per month. But how do you know that you are working there? That's assurance. Assurance is the reason why a company will give you, or an organization will give you, an offer letter and not just say resume work. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
It is the reason why a school will give you an admission letter and not just say start. No, be school, enter class. Because you can be in school writing exam, test, and everything, and at the end of the day, no result.
Yes, sir.
Because you are not registered. Because you are not a student. So without assurance, anything we are doing, before you talk about being committed, paying your tithes, all of this, are you inside? Praise the Lord. So, I'll go through what we talked about on Wednesday briefly and get into today's emphasis, first love. There is a reason why. John chapter 1. So, how do you know you are saved? John chapter 1 from verse 11 to 12. Say after me, I'm blessed.
I am blessed.
Can you say after me, I am a student of the world.
I will grow in the word of God.
Now say after me, in this city Abuja, Newbury Christian Community raises an army for God, an army of 500,000 disciples. Some of you are not talking. An army of 500,000 disciples on fire for God, full of the Holy Ghost, full of faith. Full of miracles.
Full of miracles.
Full of signs and wonders.
Glory.
Make the glory louder. Glory. Okay. How do you know you are saved? John chapter 1 from verse 11. The Bible says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So he's saying those that believe on him, he gave them the right. He gave them the power. He gave them the access, the legality to become the sons of God. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So if you believe on him, you have become a son of God. Now, son of God is not about gender there. It's both male and female, right?
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
But then when you read Galatians 4 verse 6, it seems as though Galatians 4 verse 6 was continuing the conversation in John chapter 1 from verse 11 to 12. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to put John 1 verse 11 to 12 and then read it with Galatians 4 verse 6 and you will see something. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So John 1 verse 11 to 12, he came unto his own and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Then Galatians 4. Verse 6, and because you are sons,
yes, sir,
God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So, when I believe in Jesus, I become a son of God. And because I am a son of God, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into my heart. Now I can call God my Father.
Yes, sir.
Do you see that?
Yes, sir.
So, the Holy Spirit in me, or in the believer, is proof that you are a child of God. The Holy Spirit in you is proof that you are a son of God. Are you with me? Now, even if all I said was too much for you, let me give you other texts of the Bible that will make it simpler. Look at 1 John chapter 4 from verse 13. 1 John chapter 4 from verse 13. Everybody, let's read this one. This is clear. 1, 2, 3, go. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his spirit. Some of you are not. Oh yeah, everybody. 1, 2, 3, go. And he in us, because he has given us of his spirit. So we know that we dwell in him and he in us because he has given us his spirit. So if you check and you just discover that the spirit is with you, that means you dwell in him and he in you. Are you with me? And if you are still doubting, look at Romans chapter 8 from verse 9. Romans 8 from verse 9. Father, that angel of sleep is banished out of this place in the name of Jesus. My God. Let me tell you something here. There are different kinds of ministers. I knew years ago that I could decide to be what you can traditionally call a power minister. And I am. But I knew that without the wisdom of God, power can go into error. Yes, sir. The Bible says Jesus is the wisdom of God and the power of God. You probably have been here before. You have seen me cast out devils before, right? Yes, sir. You've seen me. Don't worry. You will see some more crusades. You know, in Lagos church, the first time I prayed for a deaf and dumb man, the lady spoke. And one of them came and said, Pastor, this is my first time seeing this thing live. I've always been watching it. I said, don't worry. Like Jesus, you shall see greater than this.
Yes, sir.
You know, if we want to scatter this place now. But the problem is, how long will you continue without building real stature in Christ? That thing does not come without the word of God. The real men that God works with, it doesn't come without the word of God. So much to say about that, but let's go on. Let's go on. You see, one of the greatest deceptions that has afflicted the church today is the same deception the devil was trying to do to Jesus. Prove that you are a son of God by turning stones to bread. When everything about your Christianity is about turning stones to bread, you are not yet. Are you with me? You don't yet understand what Christianity is about. If everything is about turning stones to bread, every service is about turning stone to bread, every service is about open door, gateway, breakthrough. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
The question is, could Jesus turn stones to bread? Yes, he could. He could. Why was he a temptation? Because it was out of God's plan.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yes. The same man that turned stones to bread, that refused to turn stone to bread, turned water to wine.
Yes, sir.
So God is not against blessing you. God is not against you having money. God is against money having you. God is disturbed when your whole view of Christianity is all about what you can get. Tell your neighbor, wake up.
Wake up.
Wake up. Tell your neighbor, wake up and walk with God. Romans 8 from verse 9. Romans 8 verse 9. You know, I've come to discover God gives the best of his glories to the men that walk with him. He said he made known his acts to the children of Israel, but his ways to Moses. There are levels of blessings that only come for the ones who have decided that you walk with him. I remember when God started opening my eyes and I started seeing visions. I now discovered those days in Port Harcourt, when we are having impartation service, the church will be full. Everybody see for me. One day, I was when I knew there was a problem. Somebody came. He just bounced like this. During the service, he was sleeping. After the service, he came and said, Pastor, God bless you. My sister tell me, say, they see. They just scam me, scam me. I don't know anything they worry me like this. I don't know, it didn't worry me. Just she with him, I don't know. That's when I said, they have told me to Babalawo. They have told me to Babalawo. Jesus Christ, I'm not. <And then, laughs> Romans 8 verse 9. It says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, read the last part. 1, 2, 3, go. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
Hey.
Are you seeing how clear it is? So, if a man does not have the spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. He is none of his. You see, this is why when Paul went to Ephesus, in Acts chapter 19, yes, he asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said, look, do you know what they said? We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Oh, media, be with me now. Acts 19 verse 2. We have not so much as heard if there be any Holy Ghost. Do you know what Paul now asked them? Okay. He said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Verse 3. Paul asked them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said unto John's baptism. What is John's baptism? He says, remember Jesus talking in Matthew chapter 3. John speaking, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that is coming after me shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Guess what? There are many people who have entered water and have not entered Holy Ghost. He now said, unto what? So what did you receive? Because he's telling you, if any man have not the Holy Ghost, he does not belong to Jesus. He's none of his. So that means, the proof that you are saved is that you have the Spirit. Are you with me? Say after me, the proof of salvation is the presence of the Holy Ghost. Say it again, everybody. The proof of salvation is the presence of the Holy Spirit in the heart of the believer. Glory. So with that said, how do you know you have the Spirit? So if the Holy Spirit in our hearts is proof that we are saved, how do I know that I have the Holy Spirit? Galatians 5:22. Galatians 5 verse 22. The Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. And he goes on, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. Amen.
Amen.
But I like the fact that he starts with love. Do you realize he did not say the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace? He just said the fruits of the Spirit is love. Is. As though love is the basket that carries every other manifestation of the Spirit. Are you following me? As though love is the capsule in which every other manifestation of the Holy Spirit is. That's another sermon of his own. What I just said, that's a sermon. So let's start with the first one, love. And on Wednesday, we broke love into different places. Beginning with the fact that when you get born again and receive the Holy Spirit, the proof that you have the Holy Spirit is that he will begin to garnish in your heart the realization that you are loved by God, and he will begin to cause you to respond with love back to God. Romans 5 verse 5. It says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Are you seeing this? Are you seeing this? So, when the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, not only will he get you to know that you are loved by God, he will also get you to begin to respond in love back to God. So that means one of the first major ways you know that a person is saved is, does he love God? Does he love God? There's this popular scripture in New Breed that is not popular outside New Breed. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 22. I don't think there's any service we don't open it, but let's open it. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 22. Some people, when last there is 1 Corinthians 16? What is this 16? It is 16, safe. Like some people, if you ask them, what's the book of Ezra? Sir, Ezra. Where Ezra day now? Or now whom? Let me show you, there's one. Zephaniah. Not Zachariah. Zephaniah. Please, if you read Zephaniah last year, let me see. First Corinthians, don't mind me. First Corinthians 16 verse 11. Everybody, with a loud voice like thunder, read this text. 1, 2, 3, go. If man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. Do you know what this means? Anathema means condemned, sentenced to damnation. Maranatha means at the coming of the Lord, or come Lord Jesus. So, if any man love not the Lord Jesus, he will be condemned at the Lord's coming. I thought he should have said, if any man does not believe in the Lord Jesus, yes, sir, he should be condemned at the Lord's coming. Or if any man has not put faith in Christ for salvation, he will be condemned at the Lord's coming. But instead, he replaces believing with love, meaning the believer we love. Meaning, if you are not loving the Lord Jesus, you are not a believer. Yes, sir. Are you following this? If any man love not the Lord Jesus, let him be anathema, maranatha. Let me tell you what brought this teaching series. For years, I began to wonder, why is it that we have divided the church into spiritual Christians, those that carry church on their head, and those who,
they are Christians, but, you know, they don't really take God serious. They force harm. Oh, you want to use prayer, keep person.
Everything church, everything Jesus is a force for him. It's just, but there are some that, oh, this is that one. Now, Pastor MB. Why? But when I began to study the Bible, it was not like that, though. No. When you see somebody like that, that he has, some people are even elders, deacons. When they reach out, say, I better keep Bible aside.
Let's talk reality.
Let me tell you the real reason why I'm teaching this. I am scared people are going to hell from the church. People are going to hell. People are going to be damned. Let me tell you, eternity is not a place where your consciousness is shut down. No? Or you don't know about the floating. Jesus will ask you questions, you will reply. Clear. You know, I shared my vision with you during the midweek service. Let me leave that one. With all sense of humility, I'm doing this because Jesus said to me, go and do it. Some of you don't know that Jesus has come to some of our services before. He has walked into some of our services. But I don't see all this and so I don't start sounding spooky, spiritual. Now you two do. Every time, woo! David, you say, calm down. Now only you know Jesus. Okay, no problem. It's fine. It's all right.
If any man love not the Lord Jesus, he will be anathema, maranatha. So, there will be a desire towards the things of God. There will be a longing towards the things of God. You will be interested. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
There will be a desire. Because the Holy Ghost is doing that work within you. There will be a love. Remember where we are going to? First love.
Yes, sir.
We are going there. There will be a love. A passion for the things of God. Look at everybody open to
so many now, but
open to Colossians 3.
Jesus.
Colossians 3. From verse 1. Now, what does this text begin with? What's the first word here? Everybody, what's... If your neighbor is sleeping, tell them, wake up in Jesus' name. What's the first word here? Louder. What's the first word here?
If.
So, that's a conditional word to help you check. It's a word to check. It's like, if you get there and you see that signboard, that's the place. He's saying, if ye then be risen with Christ, what will happen? Seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. Are you seeing this? Verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So that means if you are risen with Christ, you will seek those things which are above. You will set your affections on things above. You know what affection means? Your emotion. Your emotion. Your heart will enter into it. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You will have a passionate desire, a passionate interest. The way you rejoice when Arsenal won. You know, when we tell people, shout glory. Which, are you following me?
Yes, sir.
You know, I've given that funny example here before. When last did a football enter into the net and the referee said, can somebody shout goal? You just hear a resounding goal because that is affection.
Yes, sir.
That's love. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
You support your club in hard times. In good times, you are there. You are faithful. You have affection. You are wearing the jersey. Sometimes white and red, sometimes. If you can be faithful with the club for 22 years... And after one thing, you said you are not coming to church again. You are, God will judge you. But that's by the way, affection. Are you with me?
Yes,
affection. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, from verse 2 to 3. You know, I'm showing you all the scriptures so that you will not claim you don't know. It's plenty, it's there. First Peter 2 verse 2. It says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Desire the sincere milk. Meaning, if you are a baby in Christ, even a baby, that's what he's saying. If you are a baby in Christ, as newborn babes, what will be the result? You will desire the sincere milk of the word that you will grow thereby. Everybody read verse 3. Read verse 3. Jesus. He said, if it is true that you have tasted of the Lord's grace, you will begin to desire the milk of the word like a baby will desire milk.
Yes, sir.
Are you following me?
Yes,
if it is true that you have tasted of the Lord's grace, you will begin... See, when I got born again,
I said I want to grow spiritually. They used to give me motivational books to read. Anthony Robbins. Find Trouble. Joel Austin. They will give me, I'll read. A time came. After like 2-3 months, I was hungry for something more. Only me went. I said, I want Kenneth Hagin, Growing Up Spiritually. I started looking for E.W. Kenyon, Advanced Bible Course. I began to study books like What Happened from the Cross to the Throne. You know why? That was not because of anything ministerial. If you have tasted of the Lord's grace, you will desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. All this one year to year, you are not, no interest in the Word of God, no interest to grow spiritually, no interest in the things of the Spirit. You might just not be saved. Are you hear what I'm saying? Everything about your Christianity, you know, now, what some people now do to get people to align is they now use fear.
If you don't tithe, it will be tight. If you don't give God a praise, you will not experience a raise.
It's all about if you don't. That is why when they now go abroad and all the things they are praying for is given by the government, Christianity end. Because here, oh God, give me Nepal light. Oh God. So if God is one, there is no genuine passion, no genuine love, no genuine conversion, no genuine transformation. It's all about gimme. You now get another country and everything you are praying about, the government has given you. I know people that went abroad and said, I don't know how to pray again. What do you want to pray for? House rent. Don't go my house rent. You just reach there. Say, okay, you've gotten a new job, so you can take a house mortgage. So they will give you a house. You will pay for that house over the span of 25 years from your salary. As they are paying you salary, the company that is paying you is removing the house to pay for, to removing the money to pay for your house. So after 25 years, that house is still your house. When somebody will buy a house here, God has done it. You know, I'm teaching like this. If they remove everything material from your faith, what is left? I'm showing you what it is. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
If they tell some of you, can you go and preach? Can you preach to Bill Gates? Can you preach to Elon Musk? You say, you know, if you serve God, if you give God a good praise, he would, God will erase you. God will change your life. Elon Musk say, I will change your life. I will change your life. Many years ago, we went for evangelism. One of my disciples, he went to preach to somebody. The guy was coming up on a Range Rover. He said, God bless you, sir. I want to give you the tract. I want to. From where I was, I shook my head. I said, you don't fold my hand. I will never admire an unsaved man, no matter how wealthy he is. Because I know that I have something worth more than gold. So if you follow me around, I'm not intimidated. Fly, drive Lexus 600, G-Wagon, F-Wagon. And by the grace of God, I've moved around a little in this country. Some of the... Okay. Let's leave it there. Where is your desire? Now, the context of 1 Peter 2, verse 2, it says,
As newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now, if you want to understand the context, you have to go back a little bit. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Chapter 1, verse 23. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. So, he was talking to those who are born again. As a follow-up to those who are born again, they will desire the sincere milk of the word, right?
Yes, sir.
So, those who are saved, there is a love for God. There is a passion for God. There is a desire for God. And guess what? Not just that. There is also a desire and a love for others who also love God. 1 John chapter 5 from verse 1. Anyone that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. 1 John 5 verse 1. Anyone that believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that is born of God loveth him that be... King James, we can do you strong thing. But what he's saying, use a newer translation. What he's saying is that if you believe Jesus is the Christ, you are born of God. And if you are born of God, you will also love every other person that is also born of God. Okay, this is NLT. Everyone that believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. Are you seeing this?
Yes,
this is why church is important.
Yes,
because if you are born again, you will love the company of those who are born again.
Yes, sir.
You cannot claim you are born again and all your close friends are gangsters and niggas. No one is Christian. No one is stressed about God. No one cares about the things of God. All of them are baddie. Only you have to tell them, don't be doing baba thing now. Eh? Is it that two things? Is it that you will convert them or they will convert you? But there is no neutral ground. Say, no, I don't drink what they're drinking. I just, when they are taking Gouda, I just take malt. Don't worry. Gouda malt, they don't look too far away. You will love the company of this one that you appear in church, used to appear, used to visit. They say home cell, they used to visit. Even when I go, tribe. But you can do ladies hangout. Let's ladies weekend getaway. Oh my God, we just watch a movie together, eat popcorn together, you know, just have time together. When last did people gather together and say, let's pray. Let's pray. So if you know what I'm talking about, I remember youth service. When I went to camp, I was under somewhere praying in the morning. I would go out to do my morning devotion, just pray in tongues. One day I ran out to pray in tongues and I met one other guy. He also came out. I was praying in tongues, looked at me. We are together, B. Let's go. You know, that's connection. I also saw how the bad guys too connected.
Yes, sir.
The ones that used to take molly and loud. Before you know, they met in Mami Market. Say, you be ganja, B. Ganja. I bet you get small molly there. Before... If you are saved, you will love the company of those who are saved. Praise the Lord. So love. Number two, joy. Say after me, joy.
Joy.
And once again, the joy is joy in Christ. Matthew 13 from verse 44. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, which when a man had found, he hideth and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Are you seeing this?
Yes,
after me, joy in Christ.
Joy in Christ.
I want you to say it louder. Joy in Christ.
Joy in Christ.
When you get born again and you are truly saved, there is a joy that you have that is not based on your bank account. Are you with me? That is not based on your circumstance. It's not based on what you are going through. It's based on the fact that you have Jesus within you. And Jesus in you is everything. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you may be going through a tough time. No money in your account, but joy in your spirit.
Yes, sir.
Join your spirit. You are going through a tough time. People are wondering, how are you surviving? No, there is another power within you.
Hallelujah.
There is the power of the ancient world in you, producing joy. You know, one of you got close to me sometime last year, entering this year. She was like, Pastor, is this the things you are going through? How do you do it? I said, I've got joy. No, I've got joy. And guess what? It is that joy that now puts you over. It is that joy that carries you from the realm of situation to the realm of breakthrough.
Yes,
praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Look at the apostles. Let me read one to you. These guys were interesting people. Interesting people. Acts chapter 13, from verse 49 to 52. It says, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up devout and honorable men and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came to Iconium. Everybody read verse 52.
And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Glory!
Wait, I'm talking about joy. To even shout glory.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory!
These people were beaten and expelled. They went to preach somewhere to do evangelism. They beat them and told them, get out of here. I thought that they would come back and say,
it's Jesus you're preaching on.
Instead, they came back and the Bible says, they are full of joy. Joy. Hey! Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
1 Peter chapter 1. I'm showing you the portrait of saved people. If you are here hearing what I'm saying, and all I'm saying is opposite to what you are experiencing, on your seat, I will not tell you to stand up, but just start talking to Jesus. Say, Lord, I believe in you. Give me your life. Save me from myself. Save me from this world. I surrender. I'm telling you, let a new life, because all we are talking about is the fruit of the Spirit,
yes,
of the new life within you. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, from verse 5, he says, who are kept by the power of God through faith, ready unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness. So, the people that he's talking to that are kept by the power of God, as at the time of the writing of this letter, they were going through a tough time. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Look at the combination. You greatly rejoice. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Though now for a season, you are in heaviness and manifold temptations.
Hi.
Are you seeing the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy? In verse 7, it says, the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. That's another sermon. The trial of your faith. He's telling you that when your faith is put under pressure, that period that a person's faith is being tried, it is more precious than gold. Oh, God. So many things to say at the same time. He's telling you that if you don't go through persecution, if you don't go through tough times, you will not understand how faith works. If God wants to make you a strong man of faith, he must allow you to go through fire. He says, that's the thing that is more precious than gold. Oh, okay, let's come back. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Everybody, verse 8. Whom having not seen, this one, please, even if you don't agree, when we are done with it, just shout glory. Please. It's too sweet not to respond properly. Everybody, verse 8. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Glory! He's saying that this Jesus that we are talking about, you have not yet seen him, but you love him. Up to now, you have still not seen him, but you are believing. And you rejoice with joy unspeakable. Joy unspeakable. And full of glory. Hey! Oh, some people, you are still betraying me. Some people in the middle. Even if you don't agree, just shout glory. Shout glory. He's saying that when you love Jesus like this and rejoice in him, you will have a joy that you cannot even talk about. It is unspeakable. And this kind of joy is full of glory. This kind of joy is enwrapped by glory. This kind of joy produces glory. You rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You won a soul one day. You preached to somebody. The person said no, but you came back excited. There was a joy unspeakable, full of glory. Meaning that joy you are having, heaven was dancing around you. Hallelujah. Saying, Kai, now you are responding well. There have been times, if you stay in my house, there have been times you've seen me do something, you say, this guy, I will just walk out. I cannot be defeated. Kai! One day, I was standing by the door. Service has closed. Where I just stood there. I just laughed. And I was like, what's the matter? I said, I just saw something. The glory in the future is too much. What I've seen about... See, when I said earlier, I know God has... Jesus has shown me things. The glory is too much. Full of glory. Tell your neighbor, full of glory. Close your eyes and say, my life is full of the glory of God. Because I believe in Jesus. Glory! This is why we shout glory. We rejoice in his grace. We rejoice in his power. We rejoice because we know he has defeated all things. Are you with me? He has all power. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
This is Jesus we are talking about here. We love him and we rejoice in him. So the fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy.
Yes, sir.
You can't talk about peace today. But let me talk about one extra one. Another sign that the person is born again. He will have a strong passion to walk in righteousness. I'm not saying he will not make mistakes. I'm not saying he may not slip or fall one or two times. But you see, the very reason why he can feel bad about his sin is because the Holy Ghost is at work.
Yes, sir.
If you ever get to the point where you fall into sin and you feel like it doesn't matter, you are sick spiritually. Your conscience is not working again. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Just the same way when a person is sick, he will lose appetite. Mm. When a person is healthy, he will have appetite. It's the same way when you are healthy spiritually, you have appetite for spiritual things, right?
Yes.
In the same way, when your nervous system has been broken down, you will step on a nail and you will not feel pain. That's why in the spirit, when your spiritual nervous system has broken down, you will commit sin and you will think it's nothing. So it is either two things. It is either you are not saved or you are not healthy spiritually. Are you following me? John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, please. 1 John chapter 2 from verse 3. 1 John chapter 2 from verse 3. He says, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Bible is sweet. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Verse 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, he's a liar. And the truth is not in him. Verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Remember where we are coming from, love of God, right? Because it is that love that will propel you to decide that I will keep his word. Are you following me? He Hereby we know we that we are in him. Everybody, verse 6. He that seeth, he abideth in him, ought himself also to walk even as he walked. This is a very important thing in this our day. Where you will see somebody's Instagram, Jesus baby, your breast is open like this. We can see the nipple, we can see everything clean. And you are writing Jesus baby. You just open, kukuma, tear the cloth, put it like this. Just give us everything. And then you now write, prophetess, Jesus baby. Instagram is a... Somebody say, pastor, reduce the volume, reduce the volume. He said, I should raise that, Mabi. He that seeth, he abideth in him, ought himself also to walk even as
he walked.
Hold on. Praise the Lord. Oh my God. Jump to verse 15. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Ah, your Father. Ah, Jesus. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. For he that doeth the will of God abideth
forever.
Jump to the last verse. Verse 29. If ye know, everybody, verse 29. 1, 2, 3, go. 1, 2, 3, go. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. You know I'm saying this? We are in interest. There is a difference between a Christian who makes a mistake and feels, no, I shouldn't be doing this. No, I should do better. And another one who says, I am a Christian and I can be doing what I'm doing. It doesn't matter. Hey! Are you following me? God is not afraid of your mistakes. If you make a mistake and you are willing to repent and follow him, he will carry you up no matter how bad your mistake is. But when you say your mistake is not a mistake, that's when we need to check, are you saved or are you still healthy? You know, and the deception is that following God is not pleasurable. There is a deception in our world that following God is boring. There is a deception in our world that walking with Jesus and following the Lord God has no beauty or pleasure or glory with it. It's just a boring piece of crap. It's a lie. Psalm 16 verse 11, it says, thou will show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. You don't know pleasure more than the one that created pleasure.
Uh-huh.
Yes, are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
You don't know pleasure more than the one who created pleasure. Okay, food, sex, water, who created it? Sleep, who created it? You did not even know that there is something called somebody can combine drinks to become high. God is the one that made the raw materials for such things. You now claim you want more pleasure than him that knows what pleasure is. This was the same trap that Eve fell for and became imprisoned. In trying to be free, she became a prisoner. When men are trying to explore pleasures out of the wisdom of God, in trying to be free, they become prisoners. So now you are high, but you are addicted. The Bible says, in trying to be wise, they became fools. In him, you let the fullness of pleasure. If you want to get pleasure, go into him. The way he will make your life so beautiful. I'm a living testimony. I can't... It is in the light of all this evidence that Jesus now says in Revelation chapter 2 to the church in Ephesus, you have left your first love. The reason why he can talk about first love is because these people have experienced what it is to love God when they were genuinely saved. Do you know why I like to teach this like this? Because there are people who don't know what first love is. The theme of the service was called First Love, right?
Yes, sir.
Look at Revelation chapter 2 from verse 1. It says, "And unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, this thing saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his hand, and that walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." Verse 2, everybody, verse 2, 1, 2, 3, go. "I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars." Verse 3, "And hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and has not fainted." Verse 4, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Are you following this? You see, when I read this place, when you start with, when Jesus is talking, Jesus is saying, "I know thy works." I don't know what crosses your mind when you read things like that. He's saying, "I know you. I know you." And for this church, guess what? This church, they were a church that had right doctrine. They were dragging people online who did not agree with the truth of the Bible. But deep down, they had lost their first passion for God. This was the sermon God asked me to preach today. But he told me, follow the route of assurance first. Because it is only the person that has experienced first love that can return back to first love. The one who has not experienced first love before is to be born again. You don't know what, that one does not know what it is to have a genuine, fresh passion from God, from God, to walk with God and grow spiritually. So he does not know what first love is. He says, "You have left your first love. I know now." You can call out people who are sinning. You can point fingers to those who are not doing it right. You know how to say, "Hey, see that one, see that one." You go online and drag people, but your own prayer life is dying. You no longer have prayer life. You that if you sin, if you tell a lie before, the Holy Ghost will break you. You will cry, you will repent now. You just go on like nothing. You are speaking in tongues, but you are still watching pornography. You are speaking in tongues and chatting. You are speaking in tongues, so, "Oh God, they confess. You know, I'm very busy," right? All throughout the speaking in tongues, you will not reply and drop the phone. You are a slave to the phone, but you are praying in tongues. You have left your first love. When God is trying to tell, "I missed you when you were not this distracted." Please, am I talking to someone?
Yes, sir.
Please, are you here?
Yes, sir.
Now you are a man of God, but when the sister passed, you say, "You'll be looking like this. You'll be sizing waist. You'll be looking more than the look that the Holy Ghost would have told you, stop. But now you are going on."
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Where is your first love? Where is your first passion? There are some people, I'll say it again, they did not have it in the first place. They didn't have first passion. Those ones, they are not saved. You need to be born again. You need to pray. I say, "Lord, I receive you. Jesus, deliver me from worldliness. Deliver me." When was the last time the word of God was burning in your heart? When was the last time you were praying with passion? When was the last time you thought about souls? When was the last time you thought about going to win a soul? When was the last time? Now you've gotten to business as usual. Where is your first love?
Let us pray. Let us pray.
You know, there are some people, it's not even sin. They are doing their Christianity to prove to others that they are better. You want to prove that you know Bible more than other people. You want to prove that you can pray more than other people. All your Christianity now is to prove a point. Where is your first love? You've lost the purity of faith, the purity of passion for God. You now want to prove a point. All your Christianity is to prove a point. I have deeper realms. I have deeper levels. Where is your first love? Pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Pray passionately. 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 Pray passionately. Pray. Pray. Now you can keep grudge. You can keep malice. You will say you are forgiven, but your heart is deep with malice. And you are a Christian. You cannot forgive. Where is your first love? Where all you wanted to do is to please Jesus. Pray, 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 pray. I want to hear your voices. If you can pray in tongues with a loud voice. Bala son de kembo lantan tembron sekaya. Brasa tan lembrante. Lengon balan sando lapaya. Minte kasaya. Lengkron de kipala. Rufe palates katalia shakapaya. Thank you.